Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. That's right, I'm your host, Roy Zara, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I have titled this episode, Consciousness Wars, the Population's Reputation, and Ideological Interference. There's all kinds of different things going on. You got Chinese police raiding Christian worship services, the DEA increasing marijuana production by 500%, special forces getting known and trafficking in cocaine, as well as North Carolina protesters toppling Simon Sand. All kinds of different things going on in the world, and you bet your butt, you bet your bottom dollar, we're sitting right here trying to figure it out with you. But before we do, a few updates, as always, I've got to get these things through. Make sure you guys are checking out the link in the description bar below. You can download our show notes. You can see how I try to keep myself, you know, together. If you want to support the operation, go buy some of the CBD oil that we have, some of the in the link in the description bar below, from New Leaf Naturals. I have some for myself. I use it after the workout. I also lather myself in it after I get out of the shower. You probably didn't need to know that, but if you also want to help us, think about becoming an exclusive member. It's $4.99 a month. Any kind of support helps us get to where we're trying to go. And in the days of censorship, you can never, never support an independent media operation enough. We had two mini-casts done this week. I'll put those in the link in the description bar as well, so you can check it out. And make sure you're listening to the episode with us at Vegan Takeover. All kinds of epic stuff coming your guys' way, but we try to do what we can with the time that we have. So with that being said, let's start the show. Salutations, my friends. And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noise Air, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer. And I have titled this episode, Consciousness Wars, the Population's Reputation, and Ideological Interference, because we're going to be looking at all kinds of wild things. Now, before I do, I'm sure you're wondering what that smell or spray was, that sound. Well, it was Pure Heart Alchemy's Sacred Sage for Wisdom. I'm mixing it up. Normally I use the Oracle for communication, but I'm hoping I'll get some wisdom with this sprint, get into the right mindset. You know, one of the things that I love about doing this, not only is the guest and the amount of people that we're able to communicate with and the kinds of things that we're able to talk about, like on the regular, but just that, the fact that we are literally taking place, we're taking part in a culture, creating one of sustainability, one of consciousness, one of awareness, one where we're actually contemplating what are we bringing into this new world order. You know, I posted an article this week where they talked about how employees are literally getting microchips inside of them. Yep, that's right. We're there. And on top of that, Facebook also released its user reputation score. Now, for people who are unfamiliar as to what that is and why we're talking about that at the start of the show, we're basically talking about how we're living a Black Mirror, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone reality. 1984 on steroids, okay? And this is not a joke. A lot of what this is preconditioned. You know, we're living in some very, very strange times indeed. But like I said, I am honored to be able to talk about these types of things with you guys. So before we actually get into the show, make sure you guys are checking out those two mini-casts that I did, the Population Control, Release the Drugs, as well as the social media's user reputation score. I'll put that in the description bar below. And make sure you're also listening to the episode of Fellowship and Freedom with Jesse of Vegan Takeover. Lots of content coming your guys' way, even more so loaded up and queued up in the barrel for you. So with that being said, let's jump right into the show. So yes, we're going to be talking about a lot of pretty wild things. Some things have transpired, things have caught my attention, and I kind of think that we need to talk about every single little bit of it. Why? Because these days we're living in, the times that we are living in, they're not normal. You know, they are definitely not normal. So I guess let's come at it from this angle. You know, apparently U.S. Special Forces soldiers were arrested for trying to smuggle 90 pounds of cocaine into Florida. Now, why are we talking about drugs still? Well, in the previous episode, we talked about how Monsanto is paying $289 million to Dwayne Johnson. We're vindicated. Glyphosate causes cancer. We're talking about how resources are running out. We're talking about 300 priests, all kinds of crazy stuff, being involved in child sexual abuse. Now we're talking about special forces soldiers trafficking in cocaine. They're arrested, meaning this was not sanctioned or somebody up at the top didn't give them the go-ahead. Now, what we are talking about is how these people, these soldiers, they're part of a larger scheme. They're part of a larger thing. We have military that listen to us. We also have Freemasons. We have agents. We have a lot of people that listen to us. What I'm about to go into is explaining how the drug war, the war on drugs, and everything else is kind of brought to us, you see. We'll get into this kind of after this, but, you know, they're now having police officers at Burning Man, the same way they're putting police officers in school. But now you actually have soldiers literally trafficking in drugs. Now, you can go back and look at the history of the drug war and see, like, how we have literally imported cocaine. That's how the drugs got here. Okay, we don't have boats. We're not shipping this stuff in. Okay, this is a sanctioned operation. We talk about this time and time again. Black budget projects such as this create off the records books, money that people can do stuff with. It's crazy. But let me get into this article. It's from the anti-media team. I put this up August 21st. It says a U.S. Special Forces soldier is accused of attempting to smuggle 90 pounds of cocaine from Cali, Colombia, into the Elgin Air Force Base in Florida. Army Master Sergeant Daniel Gould, assigned to the 7th Special Forces Group, reportedly tried to smuggle the drugs on a military plane, but they were caught before the aircraft ever left Colombia and before the drugs made it onto the plane. He was already back in the United States, but was promptly arrested by the DEA after 2 backpacks of cocaine were discovered. Quote, "We are aware of recent allegations concerning a U.S. soldier assigned under U.S. Army Special Operations Command for reportedly attempting to smuggle narcotics from Colombia into the U.S., said Army spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bocholt. As reported by the NBC News, quote, "We are cooperating fully with law enforcement officials concerning this matter. In order to protect the integrity of this investigation and the rights of the individual, there is no additional information available for the release at this time. Government employees have been caught trafficking drugs before, from TSA agents to police officers to other soldiers. The CIA, too, has been implicated in vast drug operations, most notably its role in the explosion of crack cocaine in the inner cities in the 1980s. Even the DEA, tasked with preventing the flow of drugs, has facilitated their proliferation in the name of masking busts." Yeah, this is pretty serious, you know. I'll get into this later on, too, about how the DEA increased marijuana production by 500% to fight opioid addiction. Yeah, sure. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about how the drugs, the things that are illegal, it's a joke. To a degree, it is a joke because we're literally laughing, you know, how these people are catching themselves. It's a pot calling the kettle black. You see, they're saying, "Oh, you know, better not get these drugs in here." We know they keep the drugs. I don't want to put up how many times we hear about the different police officers that are caught with drugs trafficking. But right here, you have Burning Man turned into a police state as feds order cops to stop and search attendees. That's right. People who were going to Burning Man trying to have a good time, shake off the shackles of society, they got to get stopped by cops one last time. And I know, that's silly. But this is in response to what Trump declared as the opioid epidemic. Right? You know, the premise behind me doing the population control release the drugs episode was basically how we heard about a mass casualty event in New Haven, I think New Haven, Connecticut, about how there was a massive overdose, and 71 people, 90 in total. You know, and I talked about this before, but what we're literally talking about is how people are literally getting addicted to drugs. The proliferation of drugs is very real.
The whole population wants to do drugs. Everybody wants to do drugs. I get it. But we're becoming desensitized. Before I go into this article right here, I talked to somebody who is pretty high up in some organizations, I'll say. And we had a discussion about this, about drugs and how eventually, you know, it'll all be legalized. They're beginning to do it in Mexico. But the idea behind legalizing drugs is so that you will create a population of people who either need these types of substances to reach this type of consciousness, to reach this type of understanding about unity, oneness, our place here, and so much more, or you will have people who already understand this, who come to this natural awakening. We will literally learn how to transcend our bodies. But this is a truth that the shortcut of drugs show you. Now, whenever you have them literally just releasing the drugs, just letting it out there, you know, you don't have it to where we're going to abuse it. That's the simplest way to say it. We are going to abuse the drugs because our society does not teach people how to embrace the deeper truths that some of these drugs should reveal. Now, this clip I'm going to play for you guys is of the New Haven Fire Chief, John Alston Jr., where he talks about some of the casualties that have taken place from people who have smoked synthetic weed. Now, I've talked about this before and how it's basically just chemicals that you're smoking. You know, it's not real. Let's take a listen.
Currently, citywide, we have 19 confirmed cases of overdoses since 8 o'clock this morning.
Today?
19.
Are we having a second wave of this?
It doesn't appear to be at the rate or the surge that we had yesterday. There are certain factors that we are looking at as well in terms of persons being on the green. We know on the 1st and the 15th, there are a lot of people in that area, and people that would prey on that population know that schedule, that people may have money on their hands or just coming downtown for services. We're looking at that. We're using geo data as well to track sort of like a heat map where these calls are coming in, how long it's taking for us to turn them around so that we can watch the fatigue factor on our people. We're going to be set.
And that's important too, because, you know, they're literally talking about how people are, they're used to it. They're used to the surge. They're used to the spike. They're used to people literally going through the cycles, the 1st and the 15th. You know, I get it. Bone Thugs and Harmony. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of them all. I get it. But we've got to understand how this drug war, this was something that was planned since the 1980s, if not earlier, longer, to literally indoctrinate and desensitize a population. But here, let me get into this next article for you guys right here from the Free Thought Project by John Vives. It says, DEA makes shocking move. Orders increase in cannabis production by 500% to fight the opioid crisis. They put this up August 20th. Now, this is important because we just talked about a few days ago, and this is, I think it's, again, wild. You have this mass casualty event take place in New Haven, Connecticut. A few days later, the DEA is like, yo, we have got to get production of weed up. We've just got to get it up from roughly 1,000 pounds to about 5,400 pounds. That's how much we need now. They need more weed to study it. But don't worry, they're going to create that super weed, that super dank weed that's going to sit up over there and blow your mind away. Literally mentally obliviate you. Let me get into this article. It says, in an interesting turn of events, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA, has issued a ruling which will greatly increase the amount of marijuana that can be grown legally for research purposes. In the same report, the DEA announced that they will be attempting to reduce the production of problematic opioid pharmaceuticals. The amount of marijuana that can be grown previously has roughly been around 1,000 pounds, but will be increasing to 5,400 pounds in 2019. According to the filing, these numbers are quotas that, quote, reflect the total amount of controlled substances necessary to meet the country's medical, scientific, research, industrial, and export needs, and for the establishment and maintenance of reserve stocks, the DEA said. Unfortunately, there are still many obstacles that need to be traversed before the scientific community actually has open access to these resources. There is only one farm in the whole United States that is authorized to produce cannabis for research purposes. And there are complaints from a large number of scientists that it is often difficult to receive samples from them. The farm is located at the University of Mississippi and has been operating since 1968. Two dozen other facilities have reportedly filed proposals to become licensed manufacturers, but they have all been blocked by Jeff Sessions' Justice Department. So before I, let me just stop it right there. More legally stuff. What we're basically talking about is how they're aware of the effects of marijuana. They're aware of the effects of CBD oil, of hemp, cannabis. They're aware of it. And I've talked about this time and time again. You know, what happens whenever you have people like Monsanto, Bayer, Microsoft, all these other organizations that are getting involved in marijuana production? Again, we're starting to see what happens because they're not going to let us keep this, unfortunately. They are not going to let us keep this. They see that it's a curative, and they want to try to take it away from us. You see, this is a perfect article right here. This is from Mint Press News by Derek Brose of Activist Post. It says, new study reveals geoengineering may lead to lower crops. Precisely. What happens when you have solar radiation management, chemtrails, geoengineering over these fields over at the University of Mississippi? What happens whenever you have places who have been exposed to these types of chemicals like Monsanto's glyphosate, the Roundup, bisphenol A, atrazine, aluminum, barium, strontium, all these other chemicals? What happens to this type of stuff when we ingest it, when we're infected by it? I don't want to say infected, I say affected. How about that? Affected by these types of things. You see, I had a great time when I was in Seattle, no doubt, but this is where it's legal. Right here. Finland, 1 million pregnancy study shows insecticides cause autism. Now, I just tried to list for you guys a bunch of different things that are pesticides, insecticides, chemical runoff, estrogen runoff, all these other things that take place in not only our water, our public water, but it's also being sprayed over us, over farmlands, over all these different types of things. This is what I mean why I am very cautious of what's going to happen with the marijuana industry and how this type of stuff is going to affect us. Before I get into this, I think it's important for me to illustrate why this section is titled The Consciousness Wars. As I said before, we're talking about how these things that we have access to, how they're supposed to be enhancing us, they're supposed to be growing us, we're supposed to be understanding deeper truths with the tools that we have available. But whenever you have people like Monsanto, Bayer, Microsoft, and any of these other agencies and organizations and companies that have their hands in this type of stuff inside the medical and health field, we have to wonder, to whose end does it serve? To whose end does it serve? We've talked about time and time again how toxins are turning up in the public drinking water. Now you have Amazon, Alphabet, and Microsoft pledging to try to fix healthcare. You have information coming out about how the blue light on your phone causes macular degeneration. But hold up, marijuana can fix with that. You see how all the problems that we have these days, marijuana can actually fix. But their reaction, their response is to, let's get into the solutions. Let's figure out why marijuana is a curative. Don't leave it alone. Don't let it just be as is. No, they got to start messing things up. Let me get into this article. It's from Your Newswire. They put it up August 21st. It says, a study of over 1 million pregnant women in Finland found a dramatic increase in autism among children exposed to foods sprayed with insecticides. According to researchers at the Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health and at the Department of Psychiatry, elevated levels of the metabolite of the banned insecticide DDT in the blood of pregnant women are linked to increased risks for autism in the children. SustainablePulse.com reports researchers identified 778 cases of childhood autism among offspring born from 1987 to 2005 to women enrolled in the Finnish maternity cohort, representing 98% of pregnant women in Finland. They matched these mother-child pairs with control offspring of other mothers and offspring without autism. Maternal blood taken during early pregnancy was analyzed for DDE, a metabolite of DDT, and PCB, another class of environmental pollutants. The investigators found the odds of autism with intellectual disability in offspring were increased by greater than twofold for the mother's DDE levels in the top quartile. For the overall sample of autism cases, the odds were nearly one-third higher among offspring exposed to the elevated maternal DDE levels. The findings persisted after adjusting for several confounding factors such as maternal age and psychiatric history. There was no association between maternal PCBs and autism. While DDT and PCBs were widely banned in many nations over 30 years ago, including the U.S. and Finland, they persist in the food chain because their breakdown occurs very slowly, as long as several decades, resulting in continuing exposure to populations. These chemicals are transferred across the placenta into concentrations greater than those seen in the woman's blood. Quote, we think of these chemicals in the past tense, relegated to a long-gone era of 20th century toxins, said lead author Alan S. Brown, MD, MPH, professor of epidemiology at Columbia University's Mailman College of Public Health and Psychiatry at the Columbia University Medical Center. Wow, that is a crazy long title. But yeah, no, they're right. This is what I talk about when I say the epigenetic factors. We don't understand how this is going to affect us, let alone our kids, let alone their kids. This creates mutations. This creates all kinds of different things that we have yet to come up with, that we have yet to understand. And every single time that we play any of these games and let these corporations or these pharmaceutical giants, these big corporations, whoever it is, take control of our health, take control of the masses food resources and things like this, we've always seen it go astray. We've always seen it go astray. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, apparently China is debating its one-child policy. Who knew? You can't have one kid. That's how you get the declining populations. Good Lord. They are also beginning to raid Christian worship services and so much more. We're going to get into that and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Factions of Freedom. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you.
You know, it's kind of wild thinking about it. 4 years later, dealing with censorship, user reputation scores, social credit systems, all kinds of crazy stuff. Censorship. A technocracy. Am I really that surprised? You know, we go on and on and on about Agenda 21, the New World Order, the technocrats, the Luciferians, techno-sorcery, all this other crazy stuff. So are we surprised when it shows up? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into this edition of Factions of Freedom. I am your crazy host, Freedom Faction, Noise Era, whichever one you prefer. And I told you guys that we were going to be talking about China's one-child policy. Now, I think that is kind of, personally, like I said, I think that's kind of wild. You know, the fact that they are literally, first off, it's good that they are contemplating revoking it. I think that's good. I also think it's kind of wild that we are literally seeing, and I'll get into this, you know, later on too. I think it's crazy that we're seeing here in America congressional candidates talk about us being irresponsible breeders, but on the flip side, you have China actually saying, hey, you know, go out there and go have kids. Like, that's a good thing. Don't just destroy the economy. Don't do these things. Actually have kids. Let's see if I can play this clip for you guys. And this is from RT, of all places, where they actually caught it, where they're talking about China's one-child policy. So yeah, let's get this clip playing for you guys. I didn't get to see. Decades-long birth control has resulted in a rapidly aging population. The government introduced the two-child policy in 2016.
I'm 40 years old now. I wanted to have a second child because I wanted my firstborn to have company.
It hasn't solved the problem. By 2050, China is at risk of losing over 200 million people. Now, tax for adults with no children or less than two is being proposed. They want to increase fertility rates. And I'll get into the specifics here shortly.
And this is what I'm talking about. The proposal is causing uproar in China. People. Establishing a maternity fund system is a ridiculous.
Haven't had a second child. They were someone else's. That's what insane politics says.
20 years ago, you were forced to pay because you had children. 20 years later, you're forced to pay because you don't.
Reproduction policies.
Crazy.
Nowadays, a lot of people don't want to have more than one child. The older generation has already got used to the idea that they can only have one child.
So now what we're seeing, okay, just for the sake of time, now what we're seeing is the population's reputation. We're seeing what's happening whenever these people try to take control of everything. Don't even get me started on President Xi Jinping and how he is censorship happy with everything that's going on. I've talked about how in China, you know, they are cutting back on people's research. Or on their worship services. China's actually using AI to dictate their foreign policies. There's a lot of crazy things going on in China, you know, and now we have their social credit system. So what happens whenever you're actually being forced, not forced, so to speak, but whenever you're being incentivized to actually have children? Let me play for you guys another clip where we're talking about China's surveillance state, and then I'll come back explaining the importance of the one-child policy as well as the Pennsylvania congressional candidate, Scott Wallace, talking about how we're irresponsible breeders. Let's get this clip up.
decades, facial recognition has been the stuff of science fiction. And for many here in China, it's already becoming a part of daily life.
Thanks to huge advances in artificial intelligence, people here can use their faces to log into mobile apps, access office buildings, and take money out of ATMs. At this KFC in Beijing, you can even use your face to get meal recommendations. Not all of the applications are so mundane. Police are also using the technology to shame jaywalkers and to scan crowds for persons of interest. A massive centralized database makes it possible for authorities and some private companies to identify nearly anyone by capturing their face. Access to these photos is a boon to companies like search giant Baidu, which is using them to build a range of products.
This is a data set maintained by government. Basically, that means that for almost everyone who has the ID, for everyone over 18 years old, the government will have your face in the database.
Some worry this technology could lead to serious invasions of privacy and make it easier for authorities to track political dissidents. But others see it as a powerful tool for public safety.
Not only helps to track criminals, it also helps find missing people. So it's good for the society.
Facial recognition algorithms are growing exponentially faster and more powerful, thanks to a new technology called deep learning that allows computers to mimic the human brain's ability to learn. That means they can now compensate for problems like low light and bad angles. They can also adjust for age, making it possible to identify adults from their childhood pictures. So how does it work? Using complex algorithms, facial recognition systems start out by identifying all the faces in a given...
Okay, so I'm pretty sure people are well aware of how facial recognition works and why that's all important. I wanted to play for you guys that clip so we understand what's actually going on within society today and why we have to watch and monitor how they're trying to monitor us. Now, before we move on back to the one-child policy and how this kind of connects, I wanted to illustrate or at least underscore how this is population control, surveying the next generation. If you have them basically raiding worship services, you're having them go after the subversives, the so-called politically dissident, you see. This is the whole plan. They don't want people to have a dissenting opinion. They don't want people to think outside of anything other than the state. So when we're trying to break this down, I think people really need to understand that this isn't as simple as it's being portrayed. They're trying to have you think that the government is God. They're trying to have you literally desensitized to the fact that you're being monitored, as if this is some kind of Minority Report movie with Tom Cruise, as if you can never escape this all-seeing eye that's in the sky. They always want constant data on you. So, like I said, let's talk about this. Why they're trying to mull over having a increase, so to speak, in population, and how this all correlates. And I'll get to the social credit score stuff in a minute. Don't worry. But what I'm trying to illustrate to you guys is how the Communist Party of China is literally birthing the technocracy. It's birthing this new world order that we're moving into. Let me get into this article right here. And it was put up by the Sign of the Times. They put this up August 22nd. It says, China mulls replacing defunct one-child limit with one-child tax as population ages and birth rates don't keep up. A proposal to tax adults who have fewer than two children has sparked a heated debate in China after Beijing dropped its one-child policy in hope of countering a looming demographic crisis. The idea of requiring childless or one-child adults to contribute towards a reproduction fund to assist families with more than one child was among the most controversial policy suggestions made by two Chinese academics in an article published by Communist Party mouthpiece Xinhua Daily last week. The controversial article comes amid a nationwide campaign to encourage people to have more children, with Beijing scrambling to reverse a rapidly aging society. Shrinking workforce and failing birth rates creating a demographic time bomb. But critics of the proposed tax say that the proposal, similar to the government's recently abandoned decades-long one-child policy, is needlessly intrusive and will have negative consequences down the road. Introduced in 1979, the one-child policy fined people for having more than one child, and some women were even forced to have abortions or undergo sterilization. Government-imposed measures now believed to have played a a central role in the country's looming demographic crisis. It's believed that the policy prevented some 400 million births. Wow. The piece has prompted fierce debate in China, with millions of comments online, and coincides with the government's unveiling of a new postage stamp, which some commentators suggest may mark plans to end all limits on children per family. The stamp, commemorating the year of the pig, shows two parents with three piglets. Basically, what they're talking about is this reproduction fund. They need more people. China's trying to boost its numbers. China's trying to get more people here to see what's going on, to talk about these types of things, to encourage people to actually grow. Their demographics are bad. They're trying to boost numbers. Got to get it up, right? But what happens here in America, you have people here in America that say, we're being irresponsible breeders. We shouldn't have more than one kid. No. You see, this is basically what we're beginning to talk about is the New World Order and how we're perceived. This is why the concept of sustainable development and everything else that comes with that is huge, huge right now. You literally have California banning straws. You see, and right here, I put this up back in July 25th by Max Lavo. You have Scott Wallace, the Democrat for Congress, talking about how, you know, parents with more than two kids are irresponsible breeders. He wants to tax them. Now, how have we gotten here? I thought we were supposed to be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now, in the previous episode, we had that sustainability questionnaire. You know, how people answered, you know, whether or not they thought things were overpopulated, if there were enough resources and things like this. So why would one country endorse growing the population while another condemns it? I'm going to briefly get into this article, and then we'll jump back into the Chinese police raiding the Christian worship services and how this plays into not necessarily the mark of the beast, but this New World Order social reputation score, user reputation score. But like I said, this article was put up July 25th. It's by Max Lavo. It says a Democratic candidate in Pennsylvania has desires to tax parents who have more than two children as irresponsible breeders. Scott Wallace is a population control zealot who has donated over 7 million in population control groups. Wallace is also supported and endorsed by both Planned Parenthood and now the National Organization for Women. According to the Daily Wire, Wallace, a millionaire and Democrat who believes in taxing families with more than two kids for being privileged, also believes that the tax would be on, quote, the privilege of irresponsible breeding. Between 1997 and 2003, Wallace gave $420,000 to Zero Population Growth, ZPG, now Population Connection, an organization co-founded by Population Bomb author Paul Elric, Fox News reported. From before its inception, ZPG had announced its intentions to tax large families for the, quote, privilege of irresponsible breeding. A 1968 brochure advocated abortion to stabilize population growth and claimed that, quote, no responsible family should have more than two children. Therefore, quote, irresponsible people who have more than two children should be taxed to the hilt for the privilege of irresponsible breeding. And this is reported by PJ Media. Wallace's fund, Wallace Global Fund, also gave $20,000 to the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy in 2010. CASI is an environmental group that sees economic growth as undesirable. The group supports an economy with stable or mildly fluctuating levels and a society with equal birth rates and death rates. CASI calls this stagnant state of affairs maturing. CASI still supports zero population growth, and executive board member Herman Daly has pushed for reproduction licenses, permission from the government to have children. That's where it ends. That is literally where it ends. I don't think I need to read anything more. That's where it ends. They don't want us to literally have the privilege of being natural, of being human, of being able to go through these things. Nope. You got to get permission from the government to have intercourse, to create, to be, to thrive. Oh, man. Oh, man. Explain that to me. And that's crazy. That is crazy to me. You got to have permission from the government to procreate. If you guys have not seen that movie with Christian, it's either Christian Bale or Ethan Hawke. They're both clones of one another. where it's called Gattaca. Look it up. Go watch it. You have to have permission from the government to procreate. And apparently over here in China, you have to have permission from the government to have worship services. And this article was put up August 20th. It's by Ricky Scaparo of End Times Headlines. It says, undercover police raid worship service in China, assault Christians, and mass arrest. Now, I keep talking about how, you know, the state, whatever's going on in China, man, like they don't want you to believe in anything other than the state. You had better not believe in God. You better not believe in Jesus. You better not believe in Buddha. You better not believe in Krishna. You better not believe in Allah. You better not believe in any of this. You better believe in President Xi Jinping. That it's crazy what's going on over there in China. They are literally arresting people for having worship services. Could you? And I've talked about this before because I believe that political or spiritual peace is the highest form of political revolution. Can you believe literally just praying than having your door kicked down because you have a book? But this is where we're moving. This is why the censorship of information is so important. Book burning is so important. You know, before all the censorship stuff that took place in China, Xi Jinping, President Xi Jinping, that Mark Zuckerberg is so cozied up with, him and Governor Jerry Brown of California, all of these people are teamed up together in this New World Order, technocratic, Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, UN-stamped agenda to push the world forward. You see, before this, he got rid of 1984, and now they're talking about a censored search engine. What's going on in China is becoming the model for what will take place here. I'm telling you. And this is, you guys got it. We have it all backwards. They're worried about the Russians. We're not worried about the Chinese. And I'm not trying to sound racist. I'm saying, look at the system. Look how it literally removes independent thought, individualism. You had better be for the party, or you're considered a subversive or a politically dissident individual. Let me get into this article. It says, there shall be no religion other than the worship of the state in China. Undercover police and Chinese government officials raided a church in the Henan province Sunday, where they seized worshippers' cell phones and iPads as they were being arrested. Quote, some were undercover cops and others wore a uniform, a worshipper who wasn't named told China Aid, a Texas-based nonprofit group that documents Christian persecution in China. They snapped pictures while bursting in. Then they cut the service. The raid occurred at a morning gathering at a church in Zhumadian, Henan. Several of the more than 20 Christians worshiping there were taken into custody. They attempted to grab Sister Sang's iPad and cell phone without showing their IDs. Sister Sang said, "This is my personal stuff." They ignored her and continued to seize our stuff. Brother Qian witnessed this and took over the iPad and cell phone. Officers immediately targeted Brother Qian, and he was immediately under their control because he did not resist. Another person who was at the church on Sunday said, the officers working for China's central communist government are said to have pushed a woman to the ground during the arrests and knocked a child off of a chair. The arrested Christians were taken to the Xuan police station, where they asked Lu Guang, the associate director of the Religious Affairs Bureau, quote, what crime did we commit? Why did you take away our friends? Sister Sang further demanded, we are Chinese citizens and have freedom of religion. Why do you keep track of our personal information? The believers were reportedly told that while they do have religious freedom, they must submit to the authority of the government and only meet at approved venues. Wow. Some of the Christians who were at the church said the officials had also threatened their jobs, their security, and even their lives. Underground churches have been heavily targeted for years in China, though the communist government has also been demolishing fully registered churches as well, taking rooftop crosses and arresting believers. This is something that I've talked about before. You know, they're literally bulldozing over graves. Over cemeteries. This is not a joke. Like, that's what's crazy. I think that's why I kind of follow this, because we're beginning to see that these people have no respect for your belief, have no respect for what you think, how you feel, how you want to be. Like I said, there is no religion other than the state. And as I said, they can take away your job, your security, and all this other stuff. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that before? That is exactly what these people who were doing this secret user reputation score, this is exactly what they're doing. Now, before I get into this, I think it's important that we kind of point out, or at least before we get into things like the citizen threat ranking, why it's important to look at their social credit score, social credit systems, and stuff like this. Now, I kind of went over this in our minicast that you guys can go listen to. It was a social media's user reputation score, but for the sake of time, let me get into this article here for you guys. Chinese journalist banned from flying, buying property under new social credit score system. We put this up April 25th, 2018. It's from the Drudge Report. Let's take a listen.
Liu Hu recently tried to book a flight. He was told he was banned from flying because he's on the list of untrustworthy people. Liu was a journalist who was ordered by a court to apologize for a series of tweets he wrote and was then told his apology was insincere. I can't buy property. My child can't go to private school, he says. You feel you're being controlled by the list all the time. And the list is now getting longer, as every Chinese citizen is being assigned a social credit score, a fluctuating rating based on a range of behaviors. It's believed that community service and buying Chinese-made products can raise your score. Fraud, tax evasion, and smoking in non-smoking areas can drop it. China's growing network of surveillance cameras makes all of this possible.
It can recognize more than 4,000 vehicles.
Xu Li is the CEO of SenseTime, one of China's most successful artificial intelligence companies. It is Liu Hu recently tried to book a flight. He was
So yes, this is being done in China. And this is only a few months ago where we're hearing about the social credit score system. You know, let's fast forward to today. You see, people really need to understand how close we are to this. But let me get into this article for you guys. This is put up by the Anti-Media. They reposted it from Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden. It says, Facebook's secret user reputation score exposed. In a hideous reflection of China's already prevalent social credit system, which is a rating assigned to each citizen based on government data regarding their economic and social status, the Washington Post reports that Facebook has begun to assign its users with a reputation score, predicting their trustworthiness on a scale from 0 to 1. Under the guise of its efforts to combat fake news, the Washington Post notes, citing an interview with Tessa Lyons, the product manager who is in charge of fighting misinformation, that the previously unreported rating system, which Facebook has developed over the last year, has evolved, including measuring the credibility of users to help identify malicious actors. Users' trustworthiness score between 0 and 1 isn't meant to be an absolute indicator of a person's credibility, Lyons told the publication, nor is there a single unified reputation score that the users are assigned. Quote, one of the signals we use is how people interact with articles, Lyons said in a follow-up email. Quote, for example, if someone previously gave us feedback that an article was false and that the article was later confirmed false by a fact checker, then we might weigh that person's future false news feedback more than someone who indiscriminately provides false news feedback on a lot of articles, including ones that end up being rated as true. So basically, it's like a guessing game. If you guess good enough, if you do the right things, if you jump through the right hoops, they'll help you out. The score is one measurement among thousands of behavioral clues that Facebook now takes into account as it seeks to understand risk. Quote, I like to make joke that if people only reported things that were actually false, this job would be so easy, said Lyons in the interview. People often report things that they just disagree with, but how these new credibility systems work is highly opaque. Not knowing how Facebook is judging us is what makes us uncomfortable, said Claire Waddle, director of First Draft Research Lab within the Harvard University Kennedy School, or the Harvard Kennedy School, that focuses on the impact of misinformation and is a fact-checking partner of Facebook of the efforts to assess people's credibility. Now, we read this article when we went over it in the the minicast, but another one popped up from Technocracy News. And I think it's important because I put a little video here with it. One of these little short clip things that people are always doing. But it's where it talks about how China's technocratic social credit system is scoring citizens based on their activity on and offline. Let's take a listen.
Knows every person, every bike, every car, every bus. Tell whether it is an adult, a child, a male or female.
In several big cities in China,
maybe,
including here in Shanghai, the government is even tracking jaywalkers. Cameras record them going through intersections, zero in on their face, and then publicly shame them on nearby video screens.
Ken Dwoskin has studied China's economic and political culture for more than three decades. He says how the new scoring system truly works is kept secret and could be easily abused by the government.
How far into people's daily mundane activities does this go?
Well, I think that the government and the people running the plan would like to go as deeply as possible to determine how to allocate benefits and also how to impact and shape their behavior.
As deeply as possible.
Now, there are upsides for people the Chinese government considers trustworthy. They can actually get better interest rates at banks, they can get discounts on their energy bills, and China's largest online...
Again, you know, we're seeing how they're trying to push this. If you go along with the system, you'll get everything you want. But if you don't, we're going to delete you. You know, you won't ever have a voice, man. We will... Oh, man, it is crazy. This article is from Sean Ketch of Technocracy News. It says, Facebook levies social scoring for users, but won't tell you your score. It says China's draconian social scoring system is now being tested by Facebook, and it's no wonder because CEO Mark Zuckerberg is enamored with all things China. He speaks fluent Mandarin, for instance, and has made several trips to China to meet with the party officials and other big tech moguls there. Technocrats use data as a control mechanism over their subjects. I think that's something we all need to understand. Facebook is rating its users based on how trustworthy it thinks they are. Users receive a score from a scale from 1 to 0 that determines if they have a good reputation or a bad reputation, but it's completely hidden. The rating system was revealed in a report by the Washington Post and later confirmed by Facebook to The Sun, which says in its place to, quote, help identify malicious actors, Facebook tracks your behavior across its site and uses that info to assign you a rating. And then it goes on to talk about what Tessa Lyons talked about. What we're seeing, again, is the system, create a system to monitor us. We talked the other week about Alex Jones's deplatforming. You know, this is a very real thing. When we're on their systems, we're playing by their rules. They have all the reasons to kick us off. But what we have to understand is by playing these rules, playing this game, we have to realize that we don't get to be half in and half out. And what I mean by this is, either delete your Twitter, your social media, your Facebook and stuff right now, or commit, because they're going to be able to go back and dig up tweets on you. They're going to be able to go back and dig up posts on you. They're going to be able to go back and listen to different types of things that you've said. And this is going to give them a picture of who you are. Your Facebook, this is something very, 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 very invasive, I think, that people are learning. And one of the thought processes that I've had lately, you know, is what happens if you can't have universal basic income unless you have like a Facebook? What happens if you have to be part of the social credit score system to receive finances? This is again part of that prophetic view of the end times, of revelations, with the mark of the beast style system, with the one world government, with the one world religion. You see, people have to understand how deep this type of stuff goes, you know. And I'm sure, you know, over time we will definitely expose more of this stuff and talk more about it, because I think right now a lot of people don't understand what that means. But as I said before, with the previous generation, or with the coming next generation, they're trying to get them used to this. They're trying to get them accustomed to it, growing up being surveyed, growing up having pictures on the internet, growing up literally seeing your transformation, your growth through a series of tweets and through a timeline, through some feed. It's crazy. As I keep talking about, your phone now has more power than anything. But this is why we have to use it. because of the time frame that we are in. But speaking about the time frames that we are in right now and the future, as well as the coming generations, gun control activist David Hogg has announced that he'll run for Congress. Leftist and anti-gun activist David Hogg says he'll be running for political office as soon as he turns 25. He plans to read, and I quote, a ton of books in preparation for working on a presidential campaign in 2020 as well. Now, this kid cost me 4 years of YouTube content. So first and foremost, screw everything he stands for. Secondly, what this means to me is the introduction of new blood. The collapsing of the old guard. Introducing new controlled blood. If indeed George Soros is behind David Hogg's rise to fame and he gets into Congress, this is another person that has deeper pockets than a lot of people understand. This is a pretty big thing. It's got a lot of people upset. A lot of people actually started commenting and saying they really hate this kid, and I really understand, because you're literally seeing another agent being born, groomed, essentially, and then put into a position of power. And we have to understand that's how these people work. And as I said, this guy costed me 4 years of my YouTube work, right? But this is how this social credit system works, how this censorship works. They literally used algorithms to pinpoint us, to find out that we were part of a certain demographic or a certain part of their formula that needed to have their stuff erased. They're using people like David Hogg to go out there and to literally be the figurehead so that we can react, go out there, say what we want, and they can come through on the back end and target us. More is going to come out about that, don't you worry. But I think it's imperative that we understand what he represents. They want to disarm the population. They want us controlled. They want to have us in our emotions. There's all kinds of different things to look at, but we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about this ideological interference. You know, how you have North Carolina protesters toppling Silent Sam, and at the same time, Satanists in Arkansas raising the Baphomet statue. But don't go anywhere. We're going to be talking about this and more on the other side. This is Freedom Faction, of Factions of Freedom. I'll talk to you soon. Let me tell you, I'm fired up all the time. Sometimes I wish I wasn't. Sometimes I feel like I'm kind of crazy with how stoked I am to talk about all these types of things. But let me tell you now, I am fired up. Thank you for tuning in to the third segment, Factions of Freedom. We're going to be talking about some pretty heavy things, as always. You know, how do you talk about ideological interferences? How do you talk about what people believe in fighting? You know, I talk about how in China they're arresting people who have worship services, right? But over here in Arkansas, they're willing to just raise up the Baphomet statue. You know, I think it's good that we have people trying to tackle racism. I think this is amazing because this is a very real issue, one we don't cover over here on the show. But if you can topple the symbols, you know, that is pretty big, if you ask me. But it's also important to see how they're raising symbols. This is something I wanted to talk about in the previous section. You know, how they're purge of the parishes, you know, the collapsing of the church. And again, this kind of ties into the ideological interferences. I've talked about this, how we're seeing blow after blow of different priests, churches, parishes, and people basically being expelled from the church. We're figuring out this homosexual, pedophilic subculture that's within the Catholic Church and how it's kind of a sham. And all of this kind of ties into what we're seeing taking place today. This is the development of the New World Order mindset of the global citizen. As I said before, with the one world religion, the one world government, the one world currency, where everything is online, right? This is the one world system. The one world government, the UN, that's already basically here. The one world religion, where it's either earth love or fake human love. You see, all of these things have to take place first in order for this reality to come forth. So whenever we're talking about the church collapsing, what's gonna come in its wake? The rainbow. It's the reign of the rainbow. And I know that kind of sounds wild, but people have to understand how all of this stuff works. But with that being said, let me see if I can get up this clip for you guys where we have Satanists in Arkansas demanding that they have the Baphomet statue put up. And what we're beginning to see, and I've talked about this before, what we're beginning to see is not necessarily the debate, but an allegiance taking place. Are we abiding by natural law, or are we abiding by man's law?
Satanist Christians, even members of the KKK, covered the Arkansas Capitol steps for the Satanic Temple's rally for the First Amendment this afternoon. Their message, all or none, the Satanic Temple bought its Baphomet statue to argue against the state reinstalling the Ten Commandments monument on Capitol grounds.
This is not a protest against the Ten Commandments. This is not a protest of Satanists against Christians. This is not a protest of secularists against believers. This is a rally for reason in the face of prejudice.
It's all about the fake. It's all about the slur. It's all about the slander from these people. They're not serious, and they're not even real.
Senator Jason Raybert spearheaded the push to bring the Ten Commandments to the state capitol. After the state declined a donation from the Satanic Temple, the group filed a lawsuit to have their statue of Baphomet placed on the same grounds. In today's Satanists.
Legal-minded Satanists. That's crazy. That is crazy. So on the political front, while we're having people, you know, address racism, the spiritual front, the church is being exposed, and the Satanic Temple is coming through offering Baphomet. Now, there's a lot of different ways to look at this, but what I'm trying to illustrate to you guys is we're seeing a shift, we're seeing a change, and not only in how people think, but how people act and how people approach these different types of situations. And revealing a monument such as the Baphomet, as these people have time and time again, you got to understand, they're sending out signals. They are literally sending out signals to their other members saying, it is time. You know, I can't even make a list of how many different times people have come out, like that guy at the CFR meeting where he's talking about how, you know, propaganda, that's important. You know, they need that. They need that to brainwash people. That's why they have a master narrative. How many times have we talked about these people no longer hiding the secret society that they are in, and basically calling for world government, calling for all of this stuff. It's the externalization of the hierarchy, you see. But in order to do this, they have to destroy certain things, you see. Right here, North Carolina protesters topple Confederate statue, Silent Sam. And what you guys are going to hear is basically all kinds of students at the University of North Carolina at the Chapel Hill campus literally pulling down this Confederate statue. Let's take a listen. Maybe? Okay, anyway, since that's deciding to do what it does, and for the sake of time, we have to move on. Of course, as soon as I close it out, it decides to play. What we're talking about is change.
Don't be anywhere near this shit. Don't be anywhere near this shit.
This is change. Where are you going to be when they write history? This is change. Okay, and for the sake of time, you know, what you guys heard is them obviously pulling down the statue, Silence Him, him hitting the ground, and the celebration taking place. Now, I have to ask the question, you know, is this, again, the manipulation of history? Is this them destroying our roots, destroying history, destroying culture, destroying where we're at? I've talked about this time and time again. We are literally going through a period of demoralization, deconstructivism, denaturalization, and they are trying to destroy what it means to be American, while at the same time coming through with this new globalist version. Again, what I mean in this section of ideological interferences, the differences between. But because you have everybody that's focusing on race, everybody that's focusing on these things that basically divide us, they're unifying under something. I'm not sure, you know. So while I think this is a great thing, I have to ask, you know, what are we really replacing it with? What are the ideas and the morals that we're actually trying to bring into this new world order? We can't accept everything, because then we have no filtration process, we have no discernment, and we basically just become subject just to let anything in. You see, and to kind of double back with the time that we have, to double back to something that happened in the previous episode last week with the domestic dervishes out here in New Mexico. You know, we had that jihad compound, but it was mysteriously destroyed by authorities. They literally, within like a few days, went in and destroyed that compound, but they left all kinds of stuff there. So let's take a listen by a reporter that's out there.
Hey, good morning, guys. We're back out here at the compound.
And this is in Taos, New Mexico, that this is taking place. Okay, yeah, well, one of the things I think is strange, you know, regarding this is how we're literally seeing them, you know, we have been infiltrated. As I said before, you know, with the Russians and the Chinese, we're worried about the Russians. We're not looking at the Chinese. There are other people here that have infiltrated us. There is Islamic terror here, no doubt. You get called racist covering it. You get called xenophobe. You know, and I'm expected to give a free pass to a lot of this stuff. But this is, again, that culture of relevancy where everything's cool, right? Like, don't worry about this type of stuff. You have people who are literally bringing their culture over here with them. They're not assimilating. They're not becoming a part of American culture. They're not down. And don't get me wrong, I understand American culture is something a lot of people probably wouldn't want to assimilate to. But if you're coming here, you know, what else is there to do? So there's a lot of different ideological things that we have to discuss between this. But whenever we're seeing a obvious coordinated effort to control and minimalize the impact of this type of information, these types of actions, and everything else, what we're seeing is our own demise. When you have people who are literally not discussing how this is taking place, we become the victims of tragic stuff like this that happens. These people literally got released, you see. But they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to bring it up. They don't want to discuss it. And that's one of the things that I find dangerous. You have government seeking to wiretap Facebook's messenger, cutting down on information, censorship, deleting content, removing people, deplatforming them, and all because we're trying to point this type of stuff out. The whole idea is to trade your freedom for security. You see, they don't want you to have the ability to think for yourself. I was thinking about this earlier today. What is the difference between people? I talked about this on whenever I went live after the hike with you guys. You know, I want to pull people onto the show who have different opinions just so we can start talking about this type of stuff. But what you're seeing right now is the split between people who want and people who go get. People who will stand there with their hands out. Who will say, you know what, this is all right, sure. Versus people who were like, you know what, I don't want any help, I'll figure it out on my own. But that's a whole nother discussion. They are trying to demoralize us. They're trying to extract our humanity. They're trying to put us in a place of subservience to where we don't understand our power, to where we literally cannot comprehend a world without the government, where we cannot comprehend an existence without assistance. Don't be a victim. You see, let me get back into this stuff. You know, more articles are popping up about how apparently George Soros is wanting to buy up social media. He's putting his money that he's taking away from, you know, Antifa, Indivisible, Black Lives Matter, and all these other organizations. He's taking his money from them, and now he's starting to invest it in other places. Why is this important? Because again, we're seeing the manipulation of thought, the manipulation of information, the control of information. We're seeing Obey Big Brother take place in front of us. And this ties into, like I said, with other prominent radio show hosts and podcasters being deplatformed unless they carry the corporate line. You see, let me get into this article. I put this up August 16th. It's from the Free Thought Project. It says, after calling social media a menace to society, George Soros is now buying up Facebook and Twitter shares. Think about that. After a few weeks of their stock plunging, oh no, you know, we had a hack, oh, Cambridge Analytica, oh no, the shares are dropping. Oh no. The price, it was too popular. It had to drop. Something bad had to happen. George Soros comes through, boom, buys it. This is the 5D chess. This is the stuff that's going on at the higher levels that we have to pay attention to. This is why they don't want you to have a memory. Let me get into this article. It says, months after denouncing social media as a menace to society, controversial billionaire George Soros is again investing into Facebook, Twitter, and streaming services Spotify and Pandora while scaling back his Google holdings. With hedge funds filing their second quarter statements with regulators this week, it has emerged that Soros Fund Management, LLC, is once again investing in Facebook. The fund has also bought shares in Twitter and the two streaming platforms while selling off some stock in Google's parent company, Alphabet, and Amazon. News of Soros' acquisition have raised suspicion in circles that have long seen Soros as a foe of copyrights. Facebook and Twitter stocks were rising at the time Soros made the purchases in June, though both took a dive at the end of July over disappointing earnings, and Pandora and Spotify stocks have been a haven of stable growth in comparison. Just a few months ago, Soros called social media companies a, quote, menace to society and denounced Facebook and Google for deceiving users by, quote, manipulating their attention and directing it towards their own commercial purposes. He also compared social media platforms to casinos that entice customers to gamble away all of their money, something I'm sure he's familiar with. Something very harmful and maybe irreversible is happening to human attention in our digital age, Soros said at the World Economic Forum in Davos this January. Social media companies are inducing people to give up their autonomy, while the power to shape the public's opinion is increasingly concentrated in the hands of a few companies, he added. Companies that I'm sure he has ties to. Soros Fund Management has reportedly sold off 300,000 Facebook shares in November 2017. The Hungarian-born billionaire made his fortune in currency speculation, most famously for pocketing $1 billion by shorting the British pound in 1992. He has gained notoriety for funding a network of non-governmental organizations championing leftist causes in the U.S. and across the world. Now, this was put up, as I said, earlier this month, and an article came out earlier this week talking about how apparently there's a plan, or as I'm sure we're all aware, that apparently Soros is funding a social media censorship plan. Now, I don't think it's necessarily George Soros, but I do believe, you know, it's these people who he represents, those who rule, the elites in control, who are behind this, who are subtly sending out signals telling us, hey, we're going to start restricting you. We're going to start censoring you. I have been doing this for going on 4 years, and I'm used to being censored. I'm used to people not being able to comment. I'm used to people not seeing my posts. They have to come to the page directly. I'm used to it. This is how this works, like the frog in the boiling pot of water. This is how it works. Let me get into this article. I put this up August 22nd. It's by Pamela Geller from Freedom Outpost. It says, Soros-funded social media censorship plan revealed. Thrown out of Hungary and Poland, Soros doubled down on his destruction of America and individual freedom. Nazi collaborator and woman beater George Soros has financed election rigging, the Hijra in Europe, Antifa, Hijra, I think they mean the Jihad in Europe, Antifa, Quislings in the EU, open borders, mass immigration, Palestinianism, anti-Israel groups, anti-Americanism, funding jihad murderers' legal expenses, the boycott of Israel, anti-Trump groups, violent Berkeley rioters, etc., etc. Every evil group and cause has some element Soros funding. Behind every dark, ugly global scheme, he lurks like Dracula, waiting to pounce on the good, the decent, and the free. His organization has targeted me and other colleagues who dare oppose him. I have long documented the malevolent, and this is Pamela Geller, the writer, I have long documented the malevolent activities of Soros' evil empire all the way back to his Nazi youth when he was confiscating property of the Jews. Soros has said that helping the Nazis was, quote, the happiest time of my life. And then it goes on to say that the internet purge of conservatives by tech giants has taken a sinister turn. A newly released confidential memo by George Soros-funded advocacy groups reveals Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Apple's punitive actions mirror a plan concocted by Soros to wrest power away from President Trump. A confidential 49-page memo for defeating Trump by working with the major social media platforms to eliminate, quote, right-wing propaganda and fake news was presented in January 2017 by media founders David Brock at a retreat in Florida with about 100 donors, the Washington Free Beacon reported at the time. On Monday, the Gateway Pundit blog noted that the memo's relationship with recent moves by Silicon Valley tech giants to shadow ban conservative political candidates and pundits and remove content. The Free Beacon obtained a copy of the memo, Democracy Matters, Strategic Plan for Action, by attending the retreat. So you literally have you have Nazi collaborators meeting with social media giants to squelch opinions, to, they say, whatever people say is propaganda or fake news, unless it's by accredited sources, by people that they trust, or at least people that have their money in their pockets. The memo spells out a four-year agenda that deployed Media Matters along with the American Bridge, ShareBlue, and the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington to attack Trump and Republicans. A recent study found that new Facebook algorithms had adversely affected the traffic of conservative websites. See, I don't really consider myself a conservative, and this is kind of what leads me to my next thought. I believe that what is happening right now is a long-term, large-scale plan of basically manipulating people into becoming a conservative, or at least becoming a Republican, somebody who is basically pro-America. I want to say that they're trying to create a Nazi-style mirror here in America to some degree, But there's a lot of different ways to look at that. I think this is why they have these radical left extremists carrying out in the way that they do, so that they can employ common sense, but at the same time send out signals to people in other echelons of life, other spheres of life, to basically bolster up conservative. It's crazy. It is crazy. I would literally have to write down and break down the aspects at which they're doing these types of things. But it's all so that they can get the majority of the population, because I think like 7% of Americans actually agree with Antifa politics. So that means that the rest of America doesn't necessarily agree with it. And if the rest of America is out there on social media voicing their opinion in a time to where they're creating this user reputation score, this gives them the perfect ability to monitor the populace to get a good gauge, you see, but at the same time, see who else will fall for these types of tricks, that 7% population. So it's definitely something that we need to look at and break down, but I don't think people understand, you know, what it all means. And this is why you can't really fall for it. But speaking of which, this is why having alternative viewpoints is important. Why listening to the other aisle is important. As I said before, I would like to try to get people who don't necessarily have the same views as me onto the show so we could try to talk about these types of things. I'm not saying have a debate. I'm merely saying let's discuss these types of things. I know we have people on the other side of the aisle or in the same aisle, you know, who don't agree with me. But I think it's important nonetheless that we have these types of discussions. But right here, I'm going to play this clip for you guys where, you know, Donald Trump says that he would rather have fake news than censorship. I'm sure, given enough time, fake news will be created about the operation and the types of things that we do here. I think it's imperative still that we have opposing views so we know how to form our own. This is called the Overton window, but at the same time, you have to look at the strategic mind control that these people are doing to constantly barrage you with this type of stuff, to desensitize you to where you don't really employ your critical thinking. But I digress. Let's play for you guys this clip, and then we'll kind of go from there.
We are protecting, again, religious liberty. And we're also standing up to social media censorship. That's the new thing. That's the new thing. You know, I'd rather have fake news like CNN. I would rather have fake news, sure, than have anybody, including liberals, socialists, anything, than have anybody stopped and censored. We gotta live with it. We gotta get used to it. We're gonna live with fake news. There's too many sources. Every one of us is sort of like a newspaper. You have Twitter, you have whatever you have, Facebook. But everyone, you can't have censorship. You can't pick one person and say, well, we don't like what he's been saying, he's out. So we'll live with fake news. I mean, I hate to say it, but we have no choice, because that's by far the better alternative.
I agree. I definitely agree. We have to hear other opinions. And so much stuff is happening on so many different levels. It's crazy. You know, there's an article up over on Technocracy News where they talk about life after Google. You know, people grow tired of their minds being usurped. And this is what I mean by the mind control, the strategic mind control and the social engineering of hearing fake news and censorship. You know, you're basically being told to turn off. And a lot of what this is, too, is George Orwell's 1984, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. They were very well aware of the data-itis of literally overwhelming people to where they just turn off. Like this, they're over it. People in this, and this is why people have such a hard time researching things and understanding things or reading between the lines, is because not only are we in a day and age where information gets cut off and manipulated, thankfully because of things like Wikipedia, but because people don't know how to think for themselves, because people don't know how to form their own opinions. And this is a very big deal. People aren't very familiar with how they feel, how they think, and how they act. We don't know how to keep our thoughts in check, or at least keep ourselves in check. And that's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. I should have played this clip for you guys when we were talking about, you know, all the technocracy, the social credit score system, and all this other stuff. But you know, that Wisconsin-based company, Three Square Market, recently started injecting more of their employees with RFID chips. This is what I mean by people literally just walking right into this type of stuff. You see, I'm going to try to get for you guys this clip up of this new headset where MIT says that they can hear your words in your mind, when really, you know, it's just vocalization, how they can hear it and it'll translate it. But the point I'm trying to make is how we're giving up all this type of stuff to this system that is basically indifferent, and we're supposed to be the ones defining it. We're abdicating our power, and then we're wondering how everything turned out this way. I really think people need to pull back and understand, like, how not just how wild things really are becoming. You know, there was an article that popped up the other day about how robots can brainwash children into mindless conformity. You have to think these things are operating in levels outside of ours. We're trying to employ basic common sense when they're past that. They use our common sense against us. You see. Let me play for you guys this clip of the MIT wearable headpiece that can hear your words, or hear the words you say in your mind. Alter Ego is a wearable system that allows a user to silently converse with a computing device without any voice or discernible movements, enabling the user to communicate with the device, AI assistants, or other people in a silent, concealed manner. That's the point. With this technology, it is literally to create an alter self, a second self, an alter ego that plays more of an importance than your own life. This is what I mean by censorship being the war on consciousness. You know, how we're going through this period of deconstructivism, of demoralization, of to where they're trying to offer in place of these ideologies that have gotten us so far. They're trying to offer these temporary things as a solution. And we're not understanding how deep these types of things go. And while we're sitting here fighting for these types of understanding, fighting for this very basic right to live, they're preparing the next generation for these types of things. This is, again, what I mean by the strategic mind control, the generational warfare, the epigenetic factors, all of these things that we are going through are changing us in ways that most people can't believe. But that's why we have to remind ourselves that these things are happening. And while they would like to try to keep us underneath their thumb, they can see that we are rising. And that's why we have to keep fighting. Facebook would prefer for us to just comply or die. We are the ones that they need. If this system is dependent upon us, we are the ones that have the power, and we have to be the ones to take it back. However, that's all I really have for you guys. This is Consciousness Wars, the Population's Reputation, and Ideological Interference. However, that's all I really have for you guys and gals. I know we kind of went over a lot, jumped over a few places, kind of missed a few things that I wanted to address with you guys, but I think it's important that we kind of look at the overall picture that is taking place in front of us. We see an entirely different paradigm being erected every single day. This is why I ask you guys to download the show notes. I try to put things in a comprehensive, easy-to-read format, so this type of stuff doesn't go over too many heads. But like I said, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys and gals, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noise Era, Freedom Faction, out.